as we noticed among our 10 cases, there's no case, no problem of personal relationship belonging to the category of teacher and pupil, or master and servant, or ruler and subject. And this is largely because these three relationships have all been very considerably, even seriously, depersonalized. Let's try and imagine what it was like in the old days. In the old days, centuries ago, maybe even in some areas even one century ago, if you were a servant or a worker, you more likely than not lived with your master, with your employer, under the same roof. You shared his life, his day-to-day existence. You very often ate at the same table. You ate the same food. You attended the same festivals. You were a member of the family. And there was very close day-to-day contact. And because of this close day-to-day contact, which was especially noticeable under the traditional apprentice system, a very close personal relationship could develop, could grow up, between the master on the one hand and the servant or the worker or the workman on the other. This sort of relationship survived in some places, as I've said, even down to 100 years ago. I remember just a few weeks ago I was reading a book on Dickens, and the author of this book on Dickens pointed out how in several of Dickens's novels the relationship between the master and the servant were still portrayed in very feudal terms, because these terms were still real for many people at the time that Dickens was writing. For instance, in Pickwick Papers, which I suppose most of you have read, in Pickwick Papers, Mr. Pickwick goes off to jail. He's been found guilty of breach of promise, as far as I remember, and he's got to spend 2 years in jail. So what does his faithful servant, his faithful retainer, Sam Weller Jr. say? He says, "I'm going with you." Because in those happy days, you could take your whole family to prison if you were confined, or take your servants too if you had any, or if they wanted to follow you. So Sam Weller said, "I'm going too." So Mr. Pickwick is pleased, but of course he's surprised, and he says, "But Sam, what about the young woman that you're engaged to? How will she feel about it if you are in jail for 2 years? He said, "She'll be happy to wait for me." He said, "If she isn't, she's not the sort of young woman I took her for, and I'll find another." He said, "My duty is to serve you." So this was the old feudal attitude. Master came first, before even the betrothed. Perhaps in some cases even before the wife. Master came first, because there was a real, definite, strong personal relationship between the master and the servant. And you still see this at work very much in the East. I remember that when I was in India, when I was settled in Kalimpong, I sometimes used to have to engage Tibetan or Nepalese cooks and gardeners and so on. And one noticed that these people immediately took up a very loyal, feudal sort of attitude. And they weren't content just to work for you and just get some money at the end of the month. Some of them didn't even want to work for money. They were much more interested in having a good master with whom they could have a good human personal relationship. But this, of course, is dying out in the East with the progress of modern Western civilization. Nowadays, you just can't have, in most cases, any sort of personal relationship with your master or with your employer. Usually you just work for an impersonal company or department. You may have superiors, but you've got no master. And if problems do arise between you and your superiors, they're not real problems of personal relationships. They're problems, personal problems, in the rather narrow, petty, negative sense of the term. In much the same way, in the old days, you had a chief, or you had a lord in the feudal sense, or you had a sort of captain who led you into battle. In other words, you had someone who was more powerful than you, who was stronger than you, who protected you, whom you served, and to whom you were unconditionally loyal. and with whom you therefore had a real personal relationship. And under the feudal system, this relationship, the relationship to your feudal superior, your lord, was very often the most important relationship in a man's life, even emotionally the most important, to which he would, if necessary, sacrifice other relationships. But nowadays, there's no such relationship. For better or for worse, you've got no lord, no master, no feudal superior. All you have is a very remote, impersonal relationship with the government of the day, or with the administration. You may, once or twice in your lifetime, get round to shaking hands with your local MP, but that's about as close as you ever get. Coming to the relationship between teachers and pupils, we do still have teachers, of course, but even here, or here too, we may say, a real personal relationship is comparatively rare. It may be possible at the higher educational levels. It's certainly possible at the universities where one has a tutorial system. I found, for instance, when I was at Berkeley, when I was teaching at Berkeley in the United States, Berkeley College of Yale University, that it was possible, since I had only a few students, to develop, with some of them at least, a more personal type of relationship. But under the usual sort of classroom system, one teacher has got many pupils. 40 pupils, 50 pupils, maybe. Maybe different classes that he sees or teaches at different times of the day. And of course it's a sort of rule among teachers that you mustn't have favourites. In other words, you mustn't develop relationships more with one child than with the others. And even apart from that, we usually come in contact, most of us, with teachers only when we're comparatively young and when we're not mature enough for a real personal relationship anyway. And when we're older, we don't usually think in terms of learning anything, so of course we don't usually come in contact with any teachers then.